You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Anthony Hearn, a New Jersey State employee. Anthony, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you.
Anthony, you had a legal matter that just recently settled regarding some charges of discrimination filed against you by an African-American woman. I want to get into that in a moment. Before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are?
Sure. My name is Anthony Hearn. I was born in Newark, New Jersey. I worked various jobs, including working for the IRS for 12 years. At the time of the incident, I had only worked for the state of New Jersey for about 2.5 years. I've now been with the state of New Jersey over 12 years. I just got my final last check 2 weeks ago for my legal fees, but they still owe me more than just my legal fees, but they're not going to give it to me. I've now been with the state of New Jersey over 12 years, working for the New Jersey Department of Education.
In what capacity?
In a monitoring type role, auditing type role for overseeing school districts in the state of New Jersey.
Okay, and what is your profession?
An accountant.
All right. Let's start with this matter. Let's go back to the very beginning here. When did it start? Do you remember what? I'm sure you do. I mean, this legal matter being as it is and how long it lasted. When did it start and what month and year?
In 2003, July of 2003, I hired Krista Feliciano. We had done interviews and I hired her. And my boss told me, don't hire her because she's going to be trouble. And I told him, no, she would be a good employee that I would be able to make sure I could get her trained. She was very nice and I could deal with whatever her obnoxiousness that he saw through. And I said, don't worry, I'm going to be your boss. You're not going to have to deal with her. So he finally allowed me to hire her. And my boss at the time was an African-American male.
What position were you in at that time?
At that point, I was a manager overseeing a staff of 5 people.
Still at the Department of Education?
Yes.
This lady that you just mentioned, Crystal Feliciano, African-American woman, you hired her in July 2003 to perform audits of the federal Perkins grants under your supervision. Of course, Perkins grants, I guess, is some kind of federal...
Yeah, that's a grant that the school districts get to help children that are not going on to college. It's basically to help get them trained in the trades.
And your African-American boss at the time, he's not your boss anymore, right?
That's correct. He's now retired.
Did he state to you what it was that he didn't like about her?
He just thought she had an attitude. And unfortunately, to be in the auditor role, you have to be able to take the grunts that come along with being in the audit role. So I thought you'd be very good at doing that because I saw a lot of myself in her from when I had first started out being an auditor 12 years before that.
What type of characteristics would be favorable for someone in that role?
The person doing the auditing job has to be thick-skinned, has to be able to deal with people not necessarily being happy, knowing that you're the adversary, and be able to deal with people in an adversary role while still trying to keep them happy. So there's a fine balance of being able to lay down the law as to what the law says and yet be able to try to keep people happy. It's a very fine line of an attitude, per se, that you have to have, and you got to be very thick-skinned.
And how old was she at the time?
27.
You know where she was from?
From the Trenton area.
Of course, Trenton, for those listeners who aren't aware, Trenton is the capital of New Jersey, a once very beautiful city, and now it's very much destroyed. Lots of urban blight. It's a high concentration of blacks living in Trenton, is that right?
Yes, there's a high population of African-American as well as Hispanics there.
When did the first rumblings occur that you knew there was a problem?
I never really thought there was a problem, and on the day before I'm going away in April of 2004, I get a little notice in the mail from my inner office, people telling me that I've had racial discrimination charges filed against me.
Less than a year after he was there?
Yes.
You were shocked, I guess.
I was shocked.
What was the reasoning here? What did he claim that you did to her?
She claimed that I treated her differently. Basically, she claimed that I did treat her differently, and she didn't like the way I treated her. Unbeknownst to her, most of my employees were treated a lot harder than she was treated. She was actually given a lot more leeway than most of my employees were. So that's why I was taken back when she just filed the discrimination charge, telling everybody that she felt that she was discriminated against. I'll admit I'm not the easiest boss in the world. I'm very demanding, but I also get to work.
It wasn't a lawsuit, right?
She files it with the EEO office, the Equal Employment Opportunity Division of the New Jersey Department of Education.
Okay, and I guess that's the state counterpart, I guess, to the EEOC?
Yes. Each individual agency has their own EEOC that does investigations into allegations.
Okay, and the investigation took place, I guess?
Yes, it did.
How long did it go on for?
The investigation went on for, I want to say, it was like 6 to 9 months that it went on for before I got a notice telling me I was guilty of racial discrimination.
6 to 9 months it goes on for. How were you involved in that investigation?
Well, I was interviewed, and they interviewed all my staff for it, and most of my staff was Caucasian. I had one gentleman of Indian descent working for me, and one other African-American woman working for me, and they interviewed my entire staff and interviewed other people in the department. I truly think the investigation was totally flawed, and in fact, in the end, the courts admitted the investigation was flawed. They had started this investigation in April of 04, and they closed it September of 04 in finding me guilty.
Okay, why do you say it was flawed?
The investigation in the appellate court, and both the AOL court and the appellate court, ruled that the state did not pursue other avenues in doing their investigation, and that's part of the reason why they awarded me legal fees, is because they did not do a good investigation into the subject matter. On top of that, not only did they not do a good investigation, when it came time to go to court, they had shred all their information, so they wouldn't have to give any evidence of their investigation as to what they actually did. When it came to discovery, they said, we shredded all those files.
Of course, discovery is the process where the investigation takes place, uncovering paperwork, documents, and doing interviews, right?
That's correct.
So that's the bulk of what they're getting done here in the discovery process. So why do you think it is that the investigative team did that?
Well, the investigative team, I truly don't believe, was ever actually trained in doing investigations. Because even when they were investigating myself, some of my employees came and told me that they're going to find you guilty because my other employees felt the investigation was being very flawed and slanted and one-sided. So when my employees start telling me, you know, they're investigating you, they're questioning us, and we just think you're going to get the short end of the stick here because the questions they're asking in a way they're phrasing the questions, you're guilty until you're innocent. And even when they issued my final determinations in September of 04, the state's theory is after that's issued, you're guilty unless you prove yourself innocent. And I fought the state for over 5 years to prove my innocence. I could have let it go, but I felt at my age, I thought it was very important to prove my innocence. And the hurdles in court that you have to overcome in court because you're guilty until you're innocent in an EEOC case once the initial determination is made. However, I overcame that negative. I had to prove the negative.
Did you feel, we discussed this briefly before the interview, but when all this was happening, of course, you wouldn't have known about this because it had not occurred at the time, but now everybody knows about Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. Did you feel a little bit like George Zimmerman?
Absolutely.
Why was that?
110%, and just that everyone assumes everyone is guilty in these cases until you're innocent. The woman that did the investigation was also an African-American female.
The deck was stacked against you because you were white.
That's correct.
Have you seen this unfold in other areas in your career in New Jersey?
Yes, I have. It unfolds in the state many times over. And if an employee alleges it, the state of New Jersey, unfortunately, typically bows down and pays off the person. To this day, I've never been able to prove or disprove the fact that this employee was paid off. After I was found guilty, typically what they do to prevent people from, you know, her turning around suing them once they find me guilty is they typically pay them off and saying, you know, if you promise not to sue, we'll pay you X amount of money. I've never been able to prove, and I was never able to get in a Freedom of Information Act request whether or not they paid her off. In this whole case, I did multiple Freedom of Information Act requests along the way, and they just kept telling me that it was information that I wasn't allowed to have. It was privileged. Including in the discovery process, they kept insisting that all of their work was confidential and that I had no rights to any information about their investigation, including the interviews. Ultimately, the judge insisted that they give me the interview answers. Unfortunately, they weren't the raw answers. They were the typed-up answers that the employees had signed that they were promised was confidential, but I had every employee's statement that they gave to the department to be able to use, but it took me probably almost 2 years to actually get that information out of the Department of Education because they kept insisting that I have no right to it. And we said, it is a discoverable item. How can somebody prove they're innocent when you're not telling them why they're guilty?
But isn't there a judge that can overrule, in this case, the DOE's decision?
The judge finally ordered the Deputy Attorney General to turn over anything that was left. I still don't think I ever got everything, but I got enough to build my case.
There's a lot of blacks who are hired for state positions in New Jersey, right?
Just saw an article in the newspaper today, about 30% of the state workforce is African-American.
30%, and I guess nationwide about 12%, and it has been that for a long time. In New Jersey, it's probably a little higher, because I know that the city in the entire United States with the highest, or at least the cities in the United States with the highest concentration of blacks in them, number one, I think, is East Orange, number three is Irvington, and I think number nine is Newark. So out of the top 10, at least three are in New Jersey. So let's say even if it's 15% of the population, some people say African-American. I think that is probably not the right term to use. Are you Italian?
Yes, I am.
Do you use Italian-American or you just use American?
I just use American.
They're just American, too. They're not African-Americans. They're Americans, but they happen to be black. You're an American. You happen to be white. And these are terms that we did not make up. Do you think that the blacks who are interested in doing something like this, screaming racism when they know that there isn't any racism, do you think that they're well aware of this and they know that they can do this at any time because they'll be paid off? And do you think that that's what happened in your case?
And as a judge ultimately did say, the first judge that heard my case, is everybody has the right to complain. And I totally agree with him. And this is where it comes down to the flawed investigation. Everybody has the right. If you feel you were discriminated against, you absolutely have the right to complain, but it is the people that are listening that also have to listen to what is being said and not just jump on the bandwagon. Unfortunately, for the folks that are discriminated against in the long run, whether it's because of race or sex or anything else, it's all the other claims that actually grab away from it. I mean, there are occasionally valid claims. Unfortunately, those claims go unnoticed because of all the claims that are not really being able to back up.
Incidentally, I looked up the demographics of the state of New Jersey, and this is on Wikipedia. About 69% are white, and about 14% are black. So we're talking here over double. They're over double represented in state jobs.
It was like 30.4 or 30.5.
Right. This is from the 2010 census. Jersey has about 8.8 million people in the state, and about 18% of the population are Hispanic or Latino. Non-Hispanic whites, so I guess that would mean you and me, non-Hispanic whites were about 59% of the population in 2011, down from 85% in 1970, so not too long ago. So it's down from 85 to under 60%. So when we talk about that 68.6% white, Hispanics are also included in that figure. But if you break them out of that about 69% white, then you come up with about 59% non-Hispanic white, so down from 85% in 1970. So you've worked in New Jersey your whole career, is that right?
That's correct.
When this trial happened, the Martin Zimmerman trial, what were you thinking as it related to your case and your experience with these matters?
I still actually think the actual trial was probably as many or just a little bit more than my racial discrimination trial. Literally, my racial discrimination trial was 9 days. And when I researched the Trenton courts, the average murder case is only between 3 and 4 days. So I found that very interesting that a racial discrimination case should take up 9 days of the court's time when a murder case only takes up 3.
When was the trial?
It was in October of 06.
What was the outcome of the trial?
The Office of Administrative Law found me not guilty of everything. Even the judge states in this thing that this was probably, when it came to the burden, if you read the OAO decision, it talks about the burden of proof being on me to prove the negative. After it went through all the facts and issued a ruling and addressing all 43 points of her allegation, I believe it was 43 points, and found me not guilty of everything and awarded me both back pay, legal fees, and everything else that I lost in the process.
What was the status of your job at the time during this whole matter, which occurred from April 2004 until October 2006? Were you still working?
They had demoted me to another job position within the state with no supervisory authority.
Based on these allegations?
Based on these allegations.
In the demotion, did it also decrease your income?
Yes, it did.
Dramatically?
A couple $1,000s a year. I mean, 5% and 10% of my pay, yes.
Based on these allegations, these unsubstantiated, obviously false allegations, and there was also, I guess, a stigma associated with it, right?
That's correct.
And what was that like?
I just was never happy with the whole thing because I have a tremendous amount of black friends, okay? It was a little embarrassing to me to have this come out when I have a lot of black friends.
And how did they treat you when they heard about this?
After I explained it and I gave people copies of all the rulings, it was accepted a little better than it would have been because I had to approach it delicately. And, you know, I told him, I said, I'm arguing the case. I'm taking it as high as the courts as I actually need to take this because I totally feel that I was railroaded. And based on that, I have to fight this. Early on, they offered me offers to say, you know, if you never go into management again, we'll just leave this the way it is. And they made me some ridiculous offers. At 36 years old, I wasn't going to have any lifetime ruling against me. So that's part of the reason why I fought it.
Okay, and these black friends, are these in work mostly or out of work or split in between?
Split in between. I have a lot in both my work environment, in the school districts that I visit, as well as in my own personal life.
And were these people brought in to testify?
Because it wasn't about that. It was about whether I discriminated against her. You know, all my former employees took the stand, you know, during the case. I wanted to call in some of my African-American friends, but my lawyer advised said that he did not think that would do us any good. And we didn't need it.
Okay, so prior to you explaining to your black friends that you were going to fight this and it was a frivolous claim, they were turning against you a little bit?
Well, yeah, I mean, they weren't happy. Why would you discriminate against somebody? And again, I had to prove to them in my own way that this was frivolous. And most of them knew that. Most of them, I mean, that had been around me for years on end knew that, you know, she was one of the ones that was making it bad for the rest of them. I more often heard them say, it's these people that make it bad for when it really does happen.
When you say when it really does happen, so it actually does happen?
There are valid discrimination cases. There's absolutely valid discrimination cases. I can't say I've ever seen any, but I can say I don't doubt that there are valid discrimination cases. I don't think they take place as much anymore as they used to. And sure, in the 1960s, did discrimination cases take place? There were people discriminated against? Absolutely. Does it take place in the year 2005? I don't think there's anywhere near the amount of discrimination versus the number of complaints.
So this was in October 2006, the trial, the results were found in your favor. What happened after that?
So the judge ordered everything to be paid, both back pay, back vacation time, going to trial and everything. I lost over 40 days of both vacation time and time I lost because I was demoted and got less vacation time and all that. So he ordered back pay, he ordered legal fees paid, and any other benefits that I lost, and counsel fees.
What happened after that?
The state refused to pay it. The MSB, the systems board, they refused to pay anything. They just said, we're not paying, court was wrong, they had no right to award this, and would not pay anything.
This was shortly after the ruling, I guess, right?
October of 07, they issued a ruling that said they were not going to pay back pay, legal fees, or anything else.
But isn't the judge the final arbiter in this?
Not in the world of the Merit Systems Board.
They said they weren't going to pay. You had to appeal?
I had to take it to the appellate court.
Okay, so now it's going to a different court. What happened there?
The appeals court heard it, and in October of 2010, the appellate court issued their final ruling granting me legal fees. Typically, the appeals court only reviews the evidence. All the other things, they actually had arguments on this, oral arguments on my case. And the oral arguments on my case were heard September 15th of 2010. Probably took us a year and a half to get before the appellate court.
Ordinarily, like you said, the appellate court usually just make sure that the case was done properly, right?
Yes, but in my case, they wanted to actually have oral arguments.
And that's rare?
That's very rare in an appeals case.
What happened after that? How did they rule? And how long did it take?
After they heard the oral arguments, it only took them about 6 to 8 weeks for them to issue a ruling. By the end of October of 2010, they had ruled once again in my favor, giving me legal fees.
So here we're in October 2010. What did the state do?
They then went back, and their attorney said, we're not paying all the legal fees. And this is what made me go to the press with this back when, because they said that the total legal fees amounted to almost $78,000, and they were offering $20,000. I finally did another Oprah request, and they said, you can't have more fees than we had, legal fees. So they produced their timesheets where they said the state's legal fees were only $20,000, so we're going to cap your legal fees at $20,000. We thought that was absolutely ridiculous when we had approved the negative. So I did an Oprah request for the timesheets of the Deputy Attorney Generals.
And what is that exactly? What's that acronym stand for?
Oh, the Oprah, the Open Public Records Act. And that was, so I had done my Oprah request in July of 2011.
Okay, so 2 years ago.
Yeah, and magically, their timesheets came up with an extra 100 hours, I think they wound up coming up with, that they had lost their timesheets and they were not with the case where they could figure out how many hours they spent on my case. So they offered us a little more money. They went up to $25,000, and I told them, no, the court has ordered you to pay the full legal fee, $77,000. They came back after going round and round for another probably 3 months. They offered us $40,000. My lawyer, who was hired by the union, recommended that we take it. I said, we'll only take it if I get my legal fees back and the union's going to eat the rest of it. I said, but I would like to pursue it further. They did not want to pursue it further to get more money back for themselves. So the $40,000, I got $17,000. They got the balance.
And how much did you actually lay out of your pocket?
$17,000. So I got all my legal fees back. What I didn't get back and dropped away was my back pay and the time I had to be off to deal with the trial. Those issues, they were leveraging trying to fire me again in the middle of the case after I had won. And in order to prevent them from leveraging that, they wanted an agreement that they wouldn't have to give me that. So my lawyer said, you know, instead of risking you losing your job and being without a job, we should consent that they don't have to give you back pay and that they don't have to give you back vacation time. I was not happy about that, but unfortunately you can only fight. So, I mean, they really wear you down in the process, which is absolutely insane, but they wear you down, and they wanted to, at one point in time, before it got before the appellate court, they wanted to redo their investigation. And we said, you know, we've already been to court. We don't need the consent to have you redo a witch hunt. So when they started to try to play games in order to keep me working, my attorney recommended that we take this and just argue the legal fee point, which was my largest money that I actually physically laid out. I mean, I did lose wages for a period of, in total, I think my lost wages when I added it up at one point here, I had lost 103 vacation hours, and I had lost 49 hours for court appearances, and my lost pay was $9,171.
And all this happening at the time where you performed your duties in an, quote, exemplary manner, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, and who said that? Your supervisors?
Yeah, I had perfect evaluations and everything throughout the whole process.
So they could basically get anybody.
They could get anybody.
They said, we're going to give you 40. The union attorney said, take it. You got your 17. They got whatever they got out of that, 23,000, I guess. What happened after that? This was, of course, in July of 2011, right? 2 years ago. What happened after that?
By the time they cut the check, they actually didn't cut the check until it took them another 5 months to cut the check after that.
So it went from July of 2011, it went into the beginning of 2012.
Yes.
So they cut the check for the legal fees. What happened after that?
Then it went to the union. It was made out to both me and the union. And then by the time they divvied up everything, I just got my last check 3 weeks ago.
This whole thing almost took a decade.
That's correct.
It cost you at least $10,000, not counting the vacation pay that you lost, right?
Yeah, I mean, it cost me back pay. It cost me, like I said, $9,200, whatever, in back pay, 101 vacation hours plus 49 hours of court appearance.
What would be the total you figure was stolen from you?
In the whereabouts of $25,000. My total loss was just over 40, and I got 17 back. Because I can't even count. If I counted all my trial time getting ready for the trial, my lawyer and I must have spent, I mean, I'm not even counting that time. I mean, I literally, when I say I spent 25 nights at his office for 6 hours at a time, that's probably underestimating and getting ready for the trial, because the best way to win the trial is the team that's best ready for the trial. So we spent a tremendous amount of upfront time getting ready for this trial.
Your attorney,
Walter Bliss.
What did Walter think about all this?
He was very surprised that we won. He did not think we had a good chance and always told me all the way along the way that this was definitely an uphill battle because you're guilty until you're proven innocent. I actually wrote to the ACLU in May of 2006 asking them to take my case because I feel that my rights were violated.
And what did they say?
They did not respond.
You also tried to get this information to the mainstream media, right?
I did.
Yeah, what happened with that?
I had sent it to both the Trentonian and the Trenton Times, and neither of them would take the case.
It's a politically correct issue, right?
It's a politically correct issue, yes. Yeah.
It's similar to the wave of black mob violence that's sweeping certain cities across the nation, where the mainstream media will not even report it. And if they do report it, oh, just a bunch of kids having fun. Beat Whitey night, but nah. And this is fully documented. How would you look at this matter now, in hindsight, knowing what happened with the Zimmerman trial? Well, how would you look at that?
All I ever say in this is people should go in open-minded. I don't like how people are taking sides and again making this trial about race. It's not about race. And race should not be an issue. Whether the guy did something wrong is a matter of legal. It should not be about race. And I get very, very insulted when people make it about race.
Did you discuss the Zimmerman trial with your black friends and what they thought about it? Because you do have quite a few black friends professionally and personally, because a poll was just released today where 86% of blacks disapprove of the Zimmerman verdict.
And I would probably agree with that percentage. If not, I would probably say even higher than that. Unfortunately, it's drawing racial lines, and I don't like that, being somebody that was in the middle of an issue for 10 years, a race issue. And actually, because I've heard them talking about it, and because my fear of race-related issues really keeps me from talking about things that are in the media, because I have to keep my mouth shut because I don't want to wind up in a situation again.
So you're kind of gun-shy even about talking about it.
Absolutely. And fortunately or unfortunately, I guess one person that worked for my state agency called me aside and said, you know, thanks for taking one for the team. Yeah, that made me feel a little better that somebody in authority would actually say that to me, but it made me feel good because unfortunately, there's no way I would be able to financially afford a trial like this. Fortunately, I had the $17,000 to lay out for all this. How many state employees do you know that could write checks for $17,000?
Right, exactly. And if you couldn't, then what would have happened? Wouldn't the union have?
The only reason the union took on the case, because at the time I was a manager when it all happened, but after I was demoted, my former director tried to retaliate against me and made some remarks along the racial lines. Then I was a union employee and I ran to the union. Then they proceeded to jump on my case.
Okay, so the former director, this is that black fellow you were talking about earlier?
Yes.
The one who told you not to hire her?
Yes.
Because he sensed that there might be a problem with her. But she might have been some kind of a gold digger.
But she might have been a troublemaker, yeah.
Troublemaker, yeah, right. But knowing that being black today in the United States, the laws and the mood is rigged against the white people. And so black, all they have to do is say, hey, this guy is treating me the wrong way, in a racist way. And literally, you were tied up for almost a decade. You lost between $20,000 and $30,000. And you lost the time. You lost face. You had to deal with this matter from a defensive position because you were guilty until proven innocent. How many other times have you seen this unfolding in your professional life or personal life?
I've only seen one other employee get a little railroaded in my agency. But again, the thing is nobody tends to talk about it. And I'm one of the few people that will. In the end, when it was over, I'm not afraid to talk about it. All during the process, you're under a gag order. But when it's all over and once it goes to court, it's now public information. If you Google my name, the court case comes up. And that's why I kind of was glad I took it as far as I did, because now it's all out there. I mean, I'm not happy that, again, my name is out there when you Google me with a racial discrimination matter. The only good thing is that I'm not guilty. It does help a little bit.
Right. And incidentally, Trenton, the demographics of Trenton is 52% black and about 26% white. And I guess that includes the Hispanic. And so Hispanics being considered white, they are 34%. So I guess in this case, it's about 26% white. So double, blacks are double the amount of whites in Trenton. And then you've got about 34% Hispanic, which is what you were alluding to before. How much do you think that all this has to do with the political environment with affirmative action and appeasing blacks for something that happened hundreds of years ago?
I totally agree. I believe a lot of it has to do with making up for what did happen, you know, whether it was 100 years ago or 30 years ago. I don't doubt that it happened then. Again, it's hard to measure the magnitude because, and again, I would have been one of those people found guilty if I didn't have the financial resources to fight the case. And again, I say that because, you know, when it was handed down, I sat down with my wife and I said, I think we need to fight this. I said, but I'm not going to spend how much we saved over our lifetime. You know, know, we'll set the limit at $10,000. Luckily that I had $10,000 to even do that at that point in time. $10,000 is still a decent amount of money. Even in today's day and age, when you read about how many people live paycheck to paycheck, we wound up going up as high as my out-of-pocket was $17,900.
And you got all of that back, though?
Yes, I did.
As of just recently, like you said, you got the last check, and this matter is dead, right?
This matter is paid, settled, and everything else.
How many more years are you going to be working for the state of New Jersey?
Well, it's my career right now, so I definitely think, you know, I'll probably be there for the next 13 years.
And after this matter was resolved, did you hear from any of your superiors or any coworkers? Did they have anything positive to say or anything negative to say? Did they think you were guilty like Zimmerman?
They actually didn't. At the time, most of my current bosses knew what was going on, and they were very nice and did support me emotionally in all the matters.
So do you think that this is going to have an impact on your career there, or do you think that it's done? Are you afraid that it's going to happen again?
No, I think now it's done. I want to feel that way, that it's done. Most of the people that were involved in the case are now gone, retired, what have you. There's only two people that testified in the case, or actually three people, two against me and one for me, that are still left working for the department. All the other witnesses have retired, or the people that filed the charges, the woman that did the investigation, and of course the woman that filed the complaint is no longer with the Department of Education.
Do you know what happened to her?
She went over to another state agency, the Office of the Comptroller, if I'm not mistaken. As far as I know, she's still working for the state of New Jersey. She's just not working for the Department of Education.
I wonder if she got a promotion.
She did when she left the Department of Education, but then my understanding was she was not happy with where she went, and they were giving her a hard time about her work, and she tried to get back into the Department of Education, but they would not let her back in.
So after causing all these problems, they gave her a promotion, and she still wasn't happy. Would you happen to know if people are looking at her suspiciously, if they want her out? Have you heard anything about any repercussions that you might have faced for bringing these frivolous accusations?
No. Like the judge said, the original judge, as much as I was disgusted with her, I was more disgusted by the people that did the investigation. As the judge said, and I totally agree with it in the long run, is people have the right to complain, but somebody higher up needs to be able to filter out those complaints.
Anthony Hearn, certified public accountant, state of New Jersey employee. I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. I'm looking forward to talking to you again in the future.
No problem. Thank you.